Hey, welcome back to season two of The Protectors. Today, I have a fellow law enforcement professional, actually a really good guy, and he's been around the block a bunch, and he brings humor to a lot of situations, but he's way more than that. If you've been following him on social media, you notice that there is a serious side to him, and he does believe in countering what is happening to our LEOs right now with stress and everything else that's happening out in the field. Today, I'd like to welcome Mike the Cop. Mike the Cop.
Cheers.
Cheers. Good morning there, Mike.
My just coffee in here, guys. Just coffee, nothing else.
Yeah. the same. Yeah, exactly. You know what? You described yourself as a proficient idiot in one of your main YouTube comments videos, and I'm like, isn't that all of us? I mean, seriously, we're all just kind of winging it sometimes.
It's those of us that are honest anyway.
I know. Once you get past the influencer standing in front of the Maserati, like whipping out the cash, going, "Yeah, I did this all myself." Not that my dad was rich or anything like that.
Yeah, man, the life is full of illusions.
That is the truth, my friend. And I like these the Black Rifle Coffee Company.
Yeah,
Mike absolutely. Is brought to you by. I love it, man. I do.
I wish they were paying me to drink out of this right now. They're not, but I mean, this is one of my. I do love their new style of mugs that I got. So
I love it, man. Mine is similar, but it's not. It's the black coffee cup. Yeah. It's just straight black. Now, you know, who is Mike the Cop? I always ask myself that, and then I follow you on social media. I see what you're doing, and 99.9% is, you know, upbeat, and you know, this is me, this is that, and then you do have this persona that the true you comes out, where you're like, you know what, I'm tired of seeing our LEOs getting beaten down. I'm tired of seeing this overwhelming stress that they have, and this is going well past the LEO realm now. It's going into all of society. Mm-hmm. Who is Mike the Cop? I mean, did you plan on, I mean, were you always kind of like, you know, you have this kind of smart ass comedic value to you?
My family and friends would say yes, that I've always been a smart ass. Yeah. I mean, I'm just me. And that's really the truth of the matter when it comes down to what you see. What you see on the internet is me. Now, there's obviously some times where there's just nothing but humor, and then there's other times where I'm giving my opinion on things, and all of it's the real me. Most of the time I'm just having fun, and other parts I want to say something that matters. So yeah, you're getting the real me in whatever I'm doing.
And it's kind of like we're trying to find our own platforms to do that, to spread the right message, because you know what, having years of experience and being around different people and learning, you've been interviewing people for a while. You've been on a lot of different shows. You've met a lot of different quote unquote characters in the community and learning from them, but then trying to spread that message. And your platform, if I recall, started out on YouTube. Was that kind of like in the LEO world, you know, at least it used to be. Now you can find cops on TikTok doing, you know, fuck that. How was it to come out into the spotlight? Like I always called out of the shadows.
You know, it was a whole weird situation. Like all I was trying to do was just bring attention to our organization, humanizing the badge at the time. Like that's it. Like, I think I had a Facebook, but I was not a social media guy up until like in 2014, I started blogging, and then 2015 led to humanizing the badge. And we were just trying to kind of figure out how can we bring attention to our organization. And that was what it was about. And we saw guys like Officer Daniels out there making vines. And so I was like, well, maybe if I just made some videos like this, I mean, I think this is funny. I think this is engaging. Maybe I could do this and that would get some, you know, people to be aware of what we're doing. And just, so I made a video, I think it was on Vine, or, and I put it on Vine and Facebook, and it just took off, and we're like, oh, okay, well, this works. And I just kind of just never stopped making videos. That's about it.
It's one way to get out there. And I forgot all about Vine. Does anybody out there, if you're still using Vine, raise your hand.
It's not, I mean, it doesn't exist. Yeah. The whole app is gone, and TikTok is the closest thing we have to Vine. It's definitely, I guess, replaced it. It's not the same thing, but yeah, I mean, that's about it.
Are you on TikTok yet?
Yeah, I'm on TikTok. I was a little bit of a late adopter. I've got some stuff on there. It's crazy to see that. I mean, cops are all over TikTok.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily, if you look at my content and compare it, let's just say there's some cops on TikTok engaging in a way that is not the way that I have or would want to engage. So, So yeah, I'm there though. I am there.
Yeah, I do it, and I do the I just pull 80s clips and put them up because I love 80s movies, and I do like a quarantine log. But if you put up a good 80s clip, man, I'm getting like 10,000 people. I'm like, I love that clip, man. John Rambo is the best. I'm like 30,000 people are viewing it and stuff, and I'm like, oh. I guess they don't want to see me. They want to see John Rambo. So,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to Mike the Cop content. That's not like, you know, the beefcake cops on duty, ripping off their shirts and throwing them on a bed. And all of a sudden they jump on it and they're in uniform. And you're just like, oh, please.
Yeah. There's a lot going on that I just kind of shake my head.
Hey, if you're on TikTok, it's cool. You're venting, you're doing whatever.
Yeah, I'm on there. And I think I do think that sometimes, you know, it comes down to the ultimate goal. I really hope that I haven't lost the goal, which is to humanize the badge. That's really been the goal for me. And I really, really never want to lose that. I try to come back to that with my content. And I think some people say that in name, you know, like they might say that that's what they're doing. I think there's a difference between saying that and, doing a strip tease, you know, as a female cop. I'm not sure that those are accomplishing the same things. So.
A little bit different. Let's talk about humanize the badge, because like this is the protector. So it's, you know, it's geared towards the emergency responder community, the LEOs, the veterans, the military, and those that support them. I always throw that in there.
Yep.
It's coming up to be more of, you know, there is humanizing the badge, but there's also humanizing the uniform, and that can be anything from the firefighter. I mean, they're still, you know, you wearing a uniform. I love busting firefighters, but the military community and everybody else is like, when you put that uniform on, you put a badge on, you put a name tape on, people look at you differently. They look at you like you're expendable. And that is the content that I like that you brought to the forefront, to saying, hey, you know what? I'm a human. There is an actual human behind this badge. What advice? And that's kind of a cliche thing, but what is your thoughts on it? What can we get out of it?
Out of,
you know, just like, I mean, how do we humanize us?
I think in the context of like, kind of like what we're talking about with social media and stuff like that, I think that it has to start in real life. Like the people often will reach out to me that are going to the police academy or want to be cops, and they'll say, man, I can't wait to do what you're doing as far as social media goes. And I always caution those folks by saying, please don't do that. Like, please learn the job and do the job really, really well in person. learn your strengths and weaknesses, understand who you are before you try to articulate that to other people, in especially on social media. So that's I think a huge part of it is making sure we still have a clear understanding that we have a real job to do in the real world, and that is that's our primary focus, and to spend time really learning that and engaging that first before we worry about how other people perceive us. So, I mean, I think that's my biggest piece of advice for people wanting to humanize the badge is make sure that the life you're living behind the badge in your real world, not on social media, is legit. It's, you know, it has integrity and there's consistency there in your character, and you have gone through some experiences that will help communicate the right perception when you're putting it out there for other people.
Yeah. Thanks, dogs, for barking. But
yeah, my dog will probably do the same thing if anybody comes to the door. So.
Welcome to the world of podcasting. But hey, one thing, it used to be that people would like always hit me up. Hey, how do I get into SWAT? How do I get into HRT? How do I become a sniper? And it's like, well, now it's like, hey, how do I get to do you? How can I be that social media with millions of likes and views? It's different, man. It's like people are almost like those type. If you join the job, even in the military or any type of public service job or service oriented job where your life is going to be put on the line, you don't do it for views and likes.
And, ideally, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Ideally, I know in a real world, but when you're talking about even now with the, you know, we could even backtrack a few years to where it was like, you know, blue lives don't matter. How can you find anybody to be on the job? And how did that affect you? I mean, because you began social media before it became anti-police. How did that affect you, your media presence?
It really drove the media presence for me. Like I said, I had started blogging a little bit in 2014 about some of my experiences in law enforcement. And I was kind of like in a place where writing for me was pretty cathartic and helpful to me personally to put some of my thoughts out there about I viewed it as the law enforcement community has done so much for me through my experiences that I want to give back, and I want to encourage our officers. So that's why I started writing. And then clear as day, I can remember watching the news unfold while I was on vacation with the Michael Brown, Darren Wilson shooting in Ferguson, which was August of 2014, I think. And I was like, yeah, I gotta do something about this. This is bad. The media response is based on entire falsehoods and presumptions. This is a bad situation for law enforcement, and this is a big deal. And it did prove to be a big deal. I think it was a true sort of like watershed moment, and the media and police since that moment have diverged, and the way that they've interacted has been very overall negative since then. And so we see this battle unfolding in regular mainstream media, in social media, and that just became sort of like what I was about. You know, I want to communicate truth in a way that helps change people's perceptions. And, you know, I don't always do that, but I, you know, where it happens, then it's a win for me. And that's how I see that, I guess.
Very cool. Very cool. One thing I do want to talk about is your podcast, Tales of Valor.
Yeah.
And it's different. I like how you're jumping into different waters. You're not just focusing on the blue line. You're focusing on valor, and there's valor everywhere, man. I love it. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about how with the concept, and now you have a partner in crime, right?
Yeah, my buddy Dave.
It's, I found it a lot. Sometimes I love having someone helping me with interviews, not even help me co-hosting, being a partner. Yeah. Let's talk about the inception of this and why.
Well, we had a podcast before. It was called Off the Cuff, and my son was on there, you know, when he was, I don't know how old he was, 17, 18, I don't know. We did this show, and he was the producer, so we called him the underpaid producer, and legitimately he got paid nothing, and we made nothing off this podcast. You know, we just were having a good time. And the whole concept behind it was, hey, we're two cops, and we're off duty, so we just call it Off the Cuff. And there was a lot of great moments, but eventually we came to this point to where my son had grown up. Now he's got, you know, his work. I had my schedule. Dave has his schedule. And to try to do it all in person like we were just wasn't working anymore. We tried for a couple of months to do it remotely, and it just, for us, for that show, it just didn't work very well. So we ended that, but we went back to the drawing board, and we were kind of like, we know, Dave and I knew we wanted to continue to podcast together. But the question was, what show, what concept, what can we do here? And Dave brought up like Medal of Honor stories. And he was in the Army, and he's like, there's 3,000+, you know, Medal of Honor recipients. So he's like, we have no shortage of stories to pull from, and we can start telling some of those and see how it goes. And we just sort of like started doing it in our way. We intentionally said, man, we wanted to have a feel like you're sitting around a fire with a good glass of whatever you want to drink, and someone's telling you the story they heard. It doesn't even have to be like super accurate in details. It's not about a history book, like on this date to this date. And if it's wrong, then you get the answer wrong. It's more like, I heard this really cool story and I got to tell you about it. This is really amazing. And we wanted to have that feel. So I think we're getting there with that. And so we started a few months ago, like, I want to say like back in September or October or something like that, we started. And yeah, man, I'm loving the heck out of it. Some stories have been cops. Some have been, a flight attendant, you know, like military is sort of like, I mean, when you think about valor, it's this idea of courage in dangerous circumstances, particularly battle. I mean, so that's going to be sort of like a lot of what we talk about, but we want to tell all sorts of stories. So yeah, man, we're doing a full episode every Friday. And then now we've upped it to where we do what we call half history. It's just one of us telling a really quick story, like about 15 minutes. And we do that on Mondays and Wednesdays. So we're up to 3 times a week now. So pretty fun.
I love it, man. I really do. Cause I had a author on, he authors children's books and he does Medal of Honor series. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we were talking about it. And, you know, you look at everything, you know, at the macro level, we know history. We know like, okay, President, you know, whatever, Reagan, and we know Abraham Lincoln. We know about these big events. We know about 9/11, but we don't know about the individual acts of bravery. And as doing a podcast, and that's how I look at podcasting too, is you have a living record of it.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, you know, after you do 20, 30, 40, 50 episodes, yeah, you turn it into a book. I mean, if Howard Stern can do it by just transcribing his interviews and making books, then you do that. But yeah, man, I think that's a great idea.
I think we're having fun with it. We are going to start doing some interviews and probably turn it into a YouTube channel and add some video element to it and stuff like that. So we're excited, man. And so it's been nice to have something that is distinctly not dependent on police stuff, but yet still sort of in the wheelhouse. So it's kind of, it's a break for me. I look forward to, I don't view it as, oh, I got a podcast, you know, because I got to get content out there. I'm just like, man, I can't wait to get to the next one. You know, we podcast tonight at like 5 or 6, and I'm like, I'm stoked because Dave's telling the story tonight. I did mine last week, and I'm like, I get to literally pour a glass of bourbon and just like listen to my buddy tell me this cool story and be myself, and people are going to listen. It's pretty cool.
I'm glad you brought that up, because like to me, I started the podcast because before this, I was kind of quote unquote in the shadows, cheesy, but it's a truth. I was just a Fed doing my thing. And then I got into the whole political realm with the whole ICE and everything else. And I got tired of just being a political pundit, you know, being on Fox every time they needed someone to talk about the wall or ICE or anything. And no offense to Fox, I really appreciate everything they've done for my visibility and let me tell my story. But the thing is, I wanted a different outlet that was like zero politics. I could come on here, have a good chat. And to me, podcasting is almost like therapy. Mm-hmm. It lets me vent. Like me and you, we'll talk right now. At the end of the show, I guarantee you there's something I've learned or something I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Or something about me, about you, about anything. It's almost like a session with a therapist. And I love it, man. Is that kind of one of the reasons you kind of jumped into this? It gives you your outlet.
Yeah, I everybody and their brother is making a podcast right now, particularly during the quarantine period of time where everybody's like, well, now people are going to be at home to listen, so now it's a good time to start one. And I don't disagree with that. And I've been sitting forever on the idea of doing a specific Mike the Cop podcast where I interview people and talk to people and all that stuff. But I really, really enjoy the co-host aspect of things. But, you know, technology is still limited to how you can piece it all together. But for me, yeah, I think podcasting is my absolute favorite thing to do. I really, really enjoy sort of just like hit and record and going for it and being able to edit up a product in the end for that. And it's, to me, you could have 100,000 page likes, but if only, you know, 5,000 of those people are watching your video, you know, do you have 100,000 people or do you have 5,000 people? So I like the fact that if someone's listening to your podcast, they're really going out of their way to listen to it, you know? And to me, that makes a huge difference. They're not just scrolling. If they're listening to your podcast, they're not just scrolling and happening to see something that you did. They're specifically saying, I want to engage with the content that you're creating. And that to me is something special. So that's, I love podcasting for that reason.
Same here, brother. And it's getting to where it's not, you know, the true podcasters, the ones that were brought up in the community are experts at editing, at software, at everything. But then you have us proficient idiots, I should say, we're learning as we go, man. And you and I were talking before the show about different platforms and different ways. But there's just so much you could do now. But having the right message, why do people want to view your content? Why do people want to listen to your content? Why do people want to subscribe to you? That's how what you need to capitalize on. And you're doing a great job of it. If you say, hey, Mike the Cop, I know Mike the Cop. And that's the other thing I want to talk about too, is like, you have been one of the more serious ones in the community. I'm not saying serious as in like stoic serious. I'm talking about like serious, putting out content, being available. You're doing podcasts like this, you're doing shows, you're doing that. Do you ever feel like you're getting replicated by others? And what is that? How does that affect you? Do you kind of be like, oh, whatever, there's plenty to go around? Or is it kind of like, bro, come up with your own?
Well, I mean, there's been actually on TikTok, speaking of TikTok, there's been some guys that have shown up on TikTok that literally straight up redo one of my old vines or something like that, like on their own, as though it was original to them. So when that happens, I'm like, I kind of shake my head. I'm like, oh, you know, just if you don't have anything original to say, then don't say it, you know. But if you're inspired by something and that has an impact, you know, clearly, like I'm a product of the 80s and the 90s. So like a lot of the style of humor, what I find funny, how I engage is going to have that inspiration to it, you know, whatever else. But I think there's plenty of room out there. I do think that there are aspects of what some cops are doing that I think take away from the job and actually diminish the goal of humanizing the badge. I think it does the opposite. But you know, as far as me and my content, I don't ever really feel like I'm not ever worried about someone putting out content or doing something or whatever. There's people out there that I've cheered on, you know. Donut Operator is a great YouTube channel. Officer 401 is a great YouTube channel. These guys are like way bigger than me, and that's awesome. You know, like as the people always say, like Donut Operator is better than you. I'm like, okay, I kind of agree that when it comes to what he does, he's way better than me. So, hey, you know, unsubscribe for me, follow him. That's cool. You know, so I'm not really upset by all that kind of stuff. Like I just do my thing, and you know, when it ends, it ends.
Yeah. You know, I found out, and that's kind of the answer I expected to have from you, is because I interview a lot of authors, and a lot of the authors write similar type fiction thriller books. And I'm always like, do you guys ever like just kind of get pissed off that you guys are all kind of competing? And then the more and more I talk about it, I'm like, look, there's plenty of content to go around. People need content. I'm like, I could read a book in a week or whatever. And then you go on to the next book and the next. And like, I could watch one of your videos and then I can go watch another video. There's plenty, especially now. A lot of us are, you know, quarantined.
Right.
So there's plenty to go around. Now, here is a question for you. When this whole pandemic is over and life goes back to half of what it used to be or whatever, and you had the opportunity to travel anywhere, within means, where would you go?
Oh, I don't know. I can't, you know, I used to say other places that are further away, but the older I get, the less tolerance I have for travel. Mm-hmm. I have like about a 5-hour threshold of interest in being on a plane or in a car.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how far I can get in five hours on a plane, probably wherever that could get me. My wife and I were just talking about, we lived in Costa Rica for a year back in like 2001, 2002. And, we were there working. So we've always said like, man, it'd be kind of cool to go back to Costa Rica and to spend some time going to see the things that we didn't see when we lived there. You know, we never went to the rainforest when we were there and mm-hmm. ziplined or something, or we didn't go to, you know, these hot springs at the base of a volcano and spend the night or whatever. Like, so there's a few of these things where like, you know, it'd be kind of cool to go back to some place we've been, it's familiar, we can have fun. You know, we'd be comfortable being there and go do things that we couldn't do. So probably Costa Rica.
Ah, nice. I just want to go to a beach, and with less people is better. Not for social distancing or anything. I like kind of just having my own little area, and I like being on top of other people. But just a beach, man. Just give me a beach, rum, on some Kraken rum, some Coke Zero, and a beach, and a family.
Yeah, that sounds good. Man.
Well, brother, I appreciate it. Let's throw this up here. The Tales of Valor is out now on all major platforms. Is this video as well?
No, not yet. That's one thing that we're working on adding and launching a YouTube channel to have that, because we got to thinking like, well, shoot, whether it's someone that is just a history buff or looking for something for research, you know, for a paper or something that they're looking at different angles, man, YouTube would be a great platform if we could throw up our content that people could go back and consume there too. Yeah. So yeah, we're working on the video thing. We'll probably backload just a still screen with the audio on it onto YouTube eventually. But I would say hopefully within the next 2 months, you'd see a video emerge for us for sure.
Very cool, brother. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and we will be chatting soon.
So just all right. Thanks, brother.